Take your Bible, if will, the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. Man, it's right in the middle of the summer. A lot of folks are gone. And, you know, I just decided I don't think y'all need to be chewed out today, all right? We're just, if you're a child of God, I want to preach to you. And really, my brother had no idea what I was preaching. But this last song just fits perfect, okay? It just really fits in good. So if you turn in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 2, and put a hand in there, and then go back to the book of Psalms, and turn your Psalms 40, all right? Open your Bible to the 40th Psalm, and maybe stick a piece of paper in there if you got one, because we'll be there in a little bit. But now, when we go to Psalms from Ephesians, don't lose your place, because we're coming back to Ephesians, okay? So just save you some time. And I just want to be a blessing, and I'll be honest, I was at a fellowship meeting this week, and a preacher preached from Ephesians 2. Now, what he preached and what I'm going to preach, two totally different things, all right? I don't want you to think, well, that's where you got your message. Well, that's where I got the message, but it wasn't from what he said, all right? The Lord just began to show me a few things, and I thought, boy, that sounds good. And so I believe that'll work, so I want to take a look at it. Ephesians chapter 2, if you will, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. And the Bible said, "In you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." I'm going to leave off reading right there. And I want you to notice there that word, the first word in verse 4, all right? The first word in verse 4, but. How many times have you heard someone say something positive, or maybe even complimentary, followed by the word but? Just think about it, all right? Most of the time, what follows that word but is negative. Very negative. For instance, "This is really tasty, but..." Now, men, I would suggest you not use this and not say, "Boy, sweetheart, you really fixed a good meal, but my mother..." Don't say that, all right? Just telling you, that'd be a bad time. Maybe you've heard somebody say, "You did a good job here, but..." Or how many times has it been this way? "I love you, but..." You know, I've thought many times our kids need to hear those three words without the word "but" after it. You with me? What a sad thing it is if every time we say our children, "I love you, but..." Wait a minute, hey, could you just say "I love you" and not have to put it with something corrective accusing? But how many times, though, is that the way it is? We hear something, maybe positive, maybe complimentary, but it's followed with the word "but," and we go, "Okay, what's coming now?" Are you... People say things and they don't say it, but you're waiting on it, right? Yeah, we're doing it. But in our text, in verse 4, when God butts in, it's a different story. Boy, it's a different story. Verse 3 kind of tells us the story of man without Christ. Just a very synopsis here. Notice what it says. In that situation, without Christ, life is spent in the lust of the flesh. It's what he said. "We also all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh." That boy, before you got saved, that was the way you lived. That was the way. And people who aren't saved, that's the way they live. They live in the lust of the flesh and the desires of the flesh and what man can conceive in his mind. It says fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's what man lives without Christ, without the Lord Jesus Christ. Man is consumed in that. It's the desire of the flesh, and it's what I can think of in my mind. That's what drives his action. The Bible even says there in the rest of that verse, man is by nature a child of wrath. Hey, in general, to be honest with you, without Christ, life is a mess. What a disaster it is. But God. Oh, mercy. When God gets involved, my, how things change. We just want to look at it this morning, all right? I want to preach to you on when God butts in, okay? When God butts in. Now, you have to let him in. But when he comes, all right, when God is allowed into the life of man, the mercy of God and his great love produces a change that I believe ought to be readily evident, it ought to be seen, it can be experienced. That's what verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy. Boy, think of that, rich in mercy. Now, we may have a little mercy, but God's rich. Rich in mercy. And then it says, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Hey, listen, when God gets into our life and his love and his mercy gets involved, I want you to see four things that take place, all right? Number one, we get redeemed. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. To be quickened is to be made alive. To be made alive. As verse 1 says, before you were saved, you were dead in trespasses and sin. You were dead. You said, well, I was up and I was moving around. I know it. But you were dead, all right? You were dead. Nothing had happened to you. And your flesh was there. You were a dead man, you know, and without hope, without God, with sin, because sin's a killer. Sin is a killer. Man is born with physical life, but he's born spiritually dead. All right? Spiritually dead. And he needs to be quickened. And what happens is that new birth comes along. All right? That's what the Bible said. You have he quickened. That's the new birth. You're made alive. It gives life to the spirit and the soul of man. That which was dead, that which is really you, comes to life. And it's given life. Boy, and that life is only available because of the great love of God. Man, songwriters have done a tremendous job trying to put it into words. You know, oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless, how strong, it shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels song. And it will. To write the love of God would drain the oceans dry. And it would. Still couldn't describe it all. But I tell you this, it is that great love of God who gave his son to pay the price for our sin. And if we'll just come to him and partake and get involved in that mercy that God offers us, then you can become a born-again child of God. You can be born again. You can be quickened. You can be forgiven. You can be brought to life. Man can be redeemed. But that's only because of God, okay? But God did it, not because we did it. Hey, I can't do it. You can't do it. Nobody can do it for you. Only God can save you. For by grace are you saved, all right? It's the grace of God that's extended to man. What a wonderful thing. Hey, us, children of wrath, but God, he'll redeem us. He'll redeem us. But wait a minute. That's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. Look at what verse 6 says. He says, even this God who's quickened us together in verse 6, he's raised us up. He's raised us up. I told you we were going to go to Psalms, the 40th Psalm. So turn there, will you? Psalm 40, if you would. Here's the testimony of David. David said, God did something for me. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord in verse 1, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Oh, mercy. David said, he raised me. He raised me. That's what the Bible tells us there in Ephesians 2, verse 6. He's raised us up. The Lord elevated us, all right? He said, he brought me up out of an horrible pit. He not only did that, he said, out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. That's what the Lord does for you, okay? He'll lift you up. He'll raise you. You said, I'm kind of down this morning. Well, get in touch with God, all right? He'll raise you up. He'll raise you up. I thinking this morning, Brother Mary, in the first song we sang here in the church service was Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory. Hey, you know what? I heard that story, and it's a true story. And you know, he talks about, I heard about a mansion he's built for me in heaven. Hey, what you heard's true. What you heard's true, all right? Hey, I've heard those things. Hey, he lifted me. It'll raise you up. You're a little bit down. Boy, go to him. He'll raise you up. He can get you up. He can put your feet on the rock, give you some stability for life, keep you during the storm. That's where you need to be planted. He raises us up for that purpose, all right? He raises us up. Hey, not just raise up that way, but I believe he raises. And I tried to come up with a word I like better, but the best word was he raised us up on an emotional level. Look at verse 2. He established my goings in verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Hey, he raised us up. He established my goings. He's put a new song in my mouth. Look, you're saved. You're a child of God. But because of what God did, yeah, I was that child of wrath. I was bound in my sin and following the desires of the flesh. But God did something for me. And when he did, he raised me up and he helped me emotionally. He's given me something to sing about, all right? And I've got a reason to sing, and I've got something to sing about. You said, don't like to sing. You ought not maybe like to, but you ought to want to. You're saved. I just can't help it, man. I get in the church service, and the songs are played, and I'll be whistling or humming or singing along. Do that. Mom's funeral. I was here whistling. The piano was playing. I was whistling. I said, oh, my, I should have been sad. Terrible thing. You've lost your mom. No, I didn't lose her. She just moved. I didn't lose her. She moved. And still got a song. Still got a song. Didn't take that song away. Hey, listen, God's given that to us, all right? We're to have a joy that cannot be concealed. We're to have that. You know, we come to church, and some people do. They look so down and out, you know. Brother Mary, and he tries to get you a smile, and you probably say, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of him saying it. Well, wait a minute. You know, the truth of the matter is, you might come to church that way, but boys, we begin to sing the great songs of the faith, and you let them penetrate in your mind and your heart, it ought to lift you. It ought to lift you. We shouldn't go through life singing a funeral dirge. Hey, if you come to my funeral, if the Lord doesn't come back and you come to the funeral, I will come back if they drag the music, all right? I will sit up in the coffin and say, hey, pick it up a little bit, will ya? Man, I'm thankful for, man, music. I still like to pat my foot, boy, to music, all right? There's some slower songs that I do enjoy, but I'll be honest, for the most part, I like a peppy tune, you know. I like a peppy tune. Every now and then I'll say something. You may not hear what I say to Ms. Noble. I say, this want to have a little bit of you know, about daybreak, all right? I want to see daybreak. And she'll launch into it. It's a peppy tune. I like it. I like it. Hey, boy, we have a song. I can't help but rejoice as his child. Can't help but rejoice as his child. Hey, you may have had in your home a difficult childhood. You very well may have, and I understand that's possible. You may not have been treated right by your earthly parents. I'm going to tell you something. You got a heavenly Father, if you're saved, that'll treat you right. He'll treat you right. He wants to raise you up, okay? He wants to encourage you. He wants to put that new song in your mouth. I mean a song of praise, okay? Song of praise. Go back there to the New Testament, if you would, and keep your place there in Ephesians, but I want you to look in Romans chapter 8. Not only has he raised us up, put our feet on a rock, but in Romans chapter 8, not only has he raised us emotionally and given us a joy, but I want to tell you what, I believe he's raised our expectations. Romans chapter 8, we usually hear verse 28 quoted in the midst of disaster. But can I tell you, it's not just a disaster verse? The Bible says, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. To them who are the called according to his purpose. We know that all things work together for good. All those things, they're coming. I mean, hey, it raises our expectations. When I know God gets involved, it raises my expectations. God has promised great things to those that love him. Great things to those that love him. I go through life looking forward to see what God's going to do, all right? I come to church looking forward to see what God's going to do. And sometimes it's not readily apparent, and you have to look close. But God's always doing something. God's always working. And in your life, he's promised, I'm going to work it all out for good, all right? Those things that you may not think are so great, he said, I'll work it out. I'll work it out. I told you I went to a fellowship meeting on this last week. I'll be honest, I went. I really didn't want to go. I had other things I needed to do. But this preacher had specifically asked me to come. And what he said was this. He said, now I've got three retired preachers lined up to come. And he said, one of them might not be able to make it because of his wife's health. And I know you're not retired. And then he said these wonderful words, but you're in that age group. Thanks, pal. Thanks a lot, you know. So I tried to call him the day before and see if he knew for sure, because I really, honestly, I didn't want to go. Didn't plan to go, and I had other things I wanted to take care of, and so I couldn't get a hold of me, so I went. Sure enough, the fellow that he thought was might not be there because of his wife's health, he wasn't able to come. But he forgot he had asked me. So he had asked another guy to preach. So I'm sitting there and he's saying all that, and honestly, in the back of my mind, I thought, good grief. I could have stayed. I could have taken care of what I was planning, you know. But then I thought, now, Lord, there's some reason I need to be here. There's some reason I need to be here. So, Lord, I'm going to be here and I'm going to stay. I even thought about I'll listen to a preacher and I'll leave, all right? But I said, well, I'm going to stay. And you know what? I got something from God. And you know what? That's the way we ought to go through life. He's raised us up. He ought to raise our expectations. He ought to be looking for what you're going to do. Looking for what you're going to do. He ought to lift your eyes up. The psalmist in Psalms 121 said, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Not just so I can see the mountains or the hills, but from whence cometh my help. He said, I'm looking for that. The child of God ought to be looking up. You ought not to go through life looking down, all right? You ought not to do that. Look up, man, look up, all right? In the darkest of times, we can have some hope. Why? because we can be looking up. God has said, hey, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills. That's what we ought to be looking up. We ought to look at it. No matter how dark the time is, we can have hope because our help comes from God, not from the world, not from circumstances. Remember, when we talk about hope as a child of God, we're not talking about maybe so, think so, perhaps, and a long shot chance. No, we're talking about a confident assurance that it's going to take place. That's the hope of the child of God. What are you saying? I'm saying he's redeemed us. He's raised us up. But look at what else the Bible says there in Ephesians 2, would you? Would you look with me there in verse 6? He says he's raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places. Can I say this? You can't sit together by yourself. Say, preacher, boy, that's profound. Well, you can't. You can't sit together by yourself. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying that the Lord's saying to us right here, God's got into our life. He's redeemed us. He's raised us up. And now he said, I want to give you some relationships. You need some. He's made us sit together in heavenly places. Johnny Flanagan wrote that song, said, I'm already over on the other side waiting for my brand new body, sitting up there in the heavenly fair on the right hand of the Father. Hey, he's made us sit together. I look at it this way and I think that means he's given us the privilege of fellowship. Fellowship. Hey, one of the reasons it's good to get together in the house of God's fellowship. Fellowship. Hey, look, I know lost people. I know what they do. They get together to play, to drink, and to party, and indulge the flesh. I'll never forget knocking on the door of a guy over in Diamond Hill. I could almost take you to the house. We got to talking, and I began to talk to him. And he had a tattoo down around his ankle, and for some reason, I comment on it. He said, that's a prison tattoo. I said, what does that mean? He said, that means, I'm not an authority on tattoos. Y'all may be, all right? And I said, what do you mean, prison tattoo? He said, well, I got it in prison. I said, what were you doing in prison? Well, I killed a man. Okay, man, I see you, So, I'm there. I start asking questions. He killed a guy down, guess where? Parking lot, the world's largest honky-tonk, Billy Bob's. That's lost men. They get out and have a good time. They party. They drink. They indulge the flesh. And they kill each other. Kill each other. I'm going to tell you something. They don't know anything about fellowship. Now, I wouldn't say they don't have a little fun. They may know something. They may have a little bit of short times of fun, but they don't know what it is to have fellowship. Fellowship is so much better than that. To get together and through the Lord, because God's gotten into our lives, we can have fellowship. We can get together. I mean, I've gone into places, into another church where I didn't know a single soul. And immediately felt at home. Just immediately felt at home with other believers. And I mean, we had a good time together. I've had them say, hey, well, come on over to our house. I remember one time my wife and I are on vacation. They said, well, hey, man, come stay with us. Man, we got a room in the motel. Check out. Come to our house. People we didn't know. What's that? Fellowship. There's a kinship there with believers. Man, we can get together because the Lord's in our life and in our heart. There's a relationship that's there. He's made us sit together in heavenly places. Oh, what a blessing it is. All because God has gotten into our life. All because he's there and he's working in us. But even better than fellowship with other believers is fellowship with the Father. Fellowship with God himself. Hey, you can do that when you are by yourself. You can do that when you are by yourself. I don't know if you've ever had and experienced much of that. Boy, I tell you, there's been some times in my life I'd be reading the Word of God, or sometimes listening to some good music. And I don't understand why anybody lets somebody go boom, 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 boom. Man, you're not going to have fellowship with that. But boy, I'd listen to something and the words of that song speak to my heart. And boy, I'd just begin to have a little fellowship with the Father. Maybe I've opened His Word and I've read the Word of God. And man, it just seems like the Holy Spirit moved in and just drove it home. And what a wonderful time of fellowship it was. I didn't want to close my Bible. I didn't want to leave the room. I just wanted to stay there, enjoying fellowship with Him. Hey, that relationship, that kind. Why? Because God's moved in. God's moved in. Until He moves in, you're not going to have that relationship. Hey, God's redeemed us, okay? He's raised us up. He's given us some wonderful relationships we can take advantage of and enjoy in this life. But wait a minute, that's just the tip of the iceberg. You're there still in Ephesians 2. Would you look at verse 7? Verse 7 says that in the ages to come, wait a minute, the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. What a wonderful promise that is. He's redeemed us. You're saved. You've trusted Him. You've called upon Him as your Savior. He's redeemed you. You've been brought to life. You were dead, but man, you made alive. And He's raised you up, and He's encouraged you. He's put a song in your lips. He's caused you to have a hope that no lost man will ever have. He's caused us to look up and enjoy that hope. And wait a minute, He's given us relationships, but He said, hang on, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to reward you in the ages to come. Now, it hasn't happened yet, but it will happen. It's going to occur not in the minutes to come, not in the days to come. Hey, not even in the years or the decades, but in the ages to come. That means there's so much on the way that it's going to take a long time to take it all in. Do you understand that? The Bible says it is going to take a long time. And He said in that time period, I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you the riches of My grace. I'll be honest with you. I thought I was already pretty well wallowing in the riches of that grace because He saved me by grace. But He says, boy, He hadn't seen nothing yet. Hadn't seen nothing yet. In the ages to come, I'm going to show you, those riches are deeper, they're broader, they're greater than you and I can even imagine. The riches of grace, His plan is to reveal it to us. Notice the word in front of riches. Exceeding riches. Exceeding riches. Unbelievable. He said the riches of His grace, it's coming, all right? It's not like seeing the crown jewels of England, all right? Or maybe some pirate treasure that can be housed in a room. Okay, maybe several rooms. But wait a minute, you hear me. The exceeding riches of His grace is such that it's going to take you years to look at it. Years to really grasp it. Now, I've been to some amazing museums. Just a couple of months ago, my wife and I went to the World War II Museum down in New Orleans. We were there all day long and had to hurry. Had to hurry to get through, and there were some parts of it we did not see. A lot there. I've been to the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C., if you're not familiar with that, that is multiple museums, multiple buildings. You can't see them in a day. You can't see them in a week. But you give it a couple weeks, you could see everything there. You could read the cards, you could gaze upon all of it. But God said it's going to take ages to come for me to reveal to you the exceeding riches of His grace, notice, in His kindness toward us. In His kindness towards us. It's going to take years of eternity to even begin to appreciate the wealth of His grace. Today, we just enjoy a tiny little bit. The tip of it, if you will. Yet how great that is. How great it is to be saved. How great it is to have your sins forgiven. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. But wait a minute. He said, in the ages to come, I'm going to show you the exceeding riches of His grace toward us. His kindness in all of that. Hey, that means what we enjoy today of His grace. Could I put it like this as just kind of a little bit of a down payment? Just a little bit of a down payment. Sometimes if you're buying something, they want you to put up earnest money. Well, maybe that's what we've enjoyed of the grace of God. It's just that little earnest money. Just that little bit of earnest money. He said, but what I've got, it's going to take ages. He said, preachers, tell me more. I can't describe it. I don't know how to describe it. He said, why not? Because I've not experienced it. I can talk to you about salvation. But I don't know the depths and the height and the breadth of that exceeding riches of His grace that He's going to show in His kindness toward us. Toward us. Why? All because back yonder, we came to Him. All because back yonder, we decided, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know it, but I'm asking You to save my soul. I'm asking You to forgive me. Hey, whether or not God does this for you kind of depends on what you do with Him. It's what you do with Him. This morning, you can sit here lost without Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can sit here still dead in trespasses and sins. You can sit here like that and walk out the door and say, that preacher didn't know what he's talking about. Well, this preacher knows a little bit about what he's talking about. And I do. I've experienced a little bit, but what He does for you is, depends on what you do with Him. Now, I entitled the message, When God Butts In. But normally when we think that way, it's somebody does something and you can't help it. No, the Lord only butts in if you let Him in. He'll only come in if you allow Him in. And if you do not allow Him and ask Him to save your soul, He's not going to force salvation on you. You're not predestinated for heaven or hell, and you're going no matter what you do or say, one way or the other, you're going. No, He gives you a choice. He said, whosoever will may come, but it's up to you. You have to decide, am I going to take advantage of that grace He so freely offered to me? Am I going to call upon Him and ask Him, will I trust Him as Savior? After you do that, Christian, the next question is, will you let Him guide and direct your life? Will you come to Him and say, okay, Lord, I've messed it up. I realize I am a child of wrath. And the best I can do is follow my own fleshly desires. And Lord, I'm going to decide to do what You want. You show me, You guide me, You lead me, I'll do what You say. Oh, listen, if you'll do that, the Lord says, you know what? I'll raise you up. I'll raise you up. I can put your feet on a solid rock, buddy. Everybody else is on sinking sand, but you can be on that solid rock. You can be there. I'll let you do it. I'll encourage you more. I'll lift you up. You can have joy. You can have happiness. You can experience the best of life. You can look forward in great expectation to what God's going to do for you and through you and with you. You can have a hope that the world doesn't understand. And I can give you all of that if you'll allow me to do it. And He said, not only that, boy. He said, I'll give you some relationships. You can enjoy it. You can enjoy fellowship with God the Father. You can enjoy fellowship with other believers. Man, it's available. You can have it if you want to. Or you can sit at home and sulk and suck your thumb. and say, woe is me, life is terrible. Well, you make it that way. But God says, hey, I've got some grace I'll give you. I got some grace I'll give you. Hey, will you let him into your life today? You let him into your life today. Would you just give him place? Would you say, Lord, here I am. Open the door. You can come in. I want your presence. Hey, he said in the ages to come, he's going to reveal the riches, the exceeding riches of his grace. Oh, man, I can't even imagine what it's going to be. It's going to take ages to enjoy it. But won't you get a little taste of it now? Don't you want that? Listen, God saved your soul not so just so you could go to heaven when you die, but so that you could enjoy fellowship with him. Now, right here, you can enjoy the relationships. He can raise you up. He can encourage you. Everything that you need, he said, I'll give it to you. You just come to him and let him do it. Will you do it? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning?